Well, I've got a text for you, and it's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. See that door? If you can, I think the door should be closed for the noise. I don't know what you think.
Yeah. They'll make a bit of a noise this morning.
Well, they will do. People coming in and out, won't they? They can't do it. Yeah. Do you want a fan? I mean, do you want a fan on? Well, it's a bit like that. Yeah. Okay. Should we start again? Well, I've got a text for you, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to read it to you in the Authorized King James, first of all. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Galatians 3, verse 1. I'm going to repeat that text, slightly changing it, to give you the sense of what the words that Paul uses really convey. Oh, foolish Galatians, yeah, that's who has bewitched you, yeah, that's right. But then he talks about Christ being clearly portrayed before you. That's the word he uses, or some people translate it placarded, like a billboard. Portrayed, that's the word I'm going to go for. So Paul is writing to the Galatians and he's saying to them, for various reasons, I haven't got time to go into all that this morning, he's saying to them that they're drifting away from the gospel, and he said, why are you doing it? Somebody's bewitched you. Very strong words. Oh, foolish Galatians, very strong words. And he says, now look, Christ has been proclaimed to you, preached to you, but he's been clearly set before you. He has been portrayed before you. He's been placarded before you. See the emphasis he's putting here. In fact, it's not an emphasis. What I want you to feel in this verse, you can feel his passion, because he uses words like foolish. You don't expect many preachers to be saying that to you today. You're fools, he says. You're fools. And then he uses a very strong word, bewitched. These are passionate words, strong words, hot words. And then he talks of Christ being portrayed before them. And it's that I want to concentrate on. And the little talk I'm doing now, the title will be Portrait Painters Wanted. Portrait Painters Wanted. Because I think, although it's not the main thing in this text, I think he gives us here a real good insight into what this preaching business, this sharing the gospel business is all about. He uses the word portrayed. So, a portrait painter. Now, you've all seen portraits. And you've seen photographs of people, obviously lots of photographs. But have you not noticed that there's a very real difference between a good portrait painter, a good portrait, and a photograph? Now the photograph, of course the photograph is really accurate, isn't it? I mean, it's got all the lines. I know today they can, you've got kit, they can take it all out and all that. But you remember, photographs used to say as it was. It was exactly right. Now, the portrait, if you look at a real good portrait, it may not be exactly right, but it's got something that the photograph hasn't got. Let me illustrate this to you, if I can. I mean, some of you know that I've done a bit of painting. Well, a lady came into my shop several years ago, and she was a vet, and she was married to a local farmer, and she'd given up her vet practice to work with him on the farm, and they were raising a pedigree herd of beef cattle. And she said, we have a bull on the farm. He's a champion, you know, and he's won all these shows, and he's been in all the magazines. And she said, I want a painting. She gave me a commission to paint this bull for her husband, you see, a painting. So my heart sank. But anyway, I said, well, I'll have a go anyway. So I went to the farm and I saw this thing, and he was a magnificent creature, mahogany skin, terrific great thing. And she gave me some pictures and photographs and so on. And I went back and I worked really hard on this painting. In fact, I painted 5 for her. And I said, you haven't got to have one, but you're... Anyway, she chose one. She liked one. But you know, even now, as I'm telling you, there was something about that picture of that bull that wasn't quite right for me. I worked hard and I had him accurate. I had his legs and everything, I think, right. But there was something missing. And what was missing was this. Although the bull was correct, there was no life about him. A real artist would have got him just on the point of moving. You would have felt his muscles. You would have felt life in the thing. So although she liked it, I wasn't altogether happy. Let me illustrate again. I worked in a school once, and on the wall corridors there was some carbon pencil drawing. Just, oh, I think the chap took about a minute to do it. He just did some lines like that. And it was a Spanish artist, and I'm not into bullfighting, I don't like it. But he painted some bullfighters, matadors, whatever you call them, picadors. And, you know, and it was only a sketch, but you could see it. You know how the bullfighter arches himself over and lets his cloth hang down? He's goading the bull, and the bull chases for him, head down to gore him. But what he's got to do is just whip it out of the way in the end, but he's got to arch his body, because if he don't, the bull's going to get him. And you could see in this sketch, you could see the man arched over. Can you see what I mean? He was leaning right over. You could feel him, his legs and everything, and yet it was only a sketch. He caught the life of the bullfighter. Paul says, when I preached the gospel, I didn't just give you the facts. I didn't say, Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. You see, if you trust him, you will be... He didn't talk like that. He made him live. He made him alive. He made the people want him. They could feel him. Do you remember when Houses of Parliament commissioned Sutherland to paint a portrait of Winston Churchill? You remember it, may remember it. Now, Clementine didn't like the painting, because Churchill was an old man now. But Sutherland, and she destroyed the painting actually, she actually destroyed it. But the painting caught Churchill as he was in his 80s, late, you know, he was grumpy, he was old. But he caught the spirit of the man. But she didn't like it. She wanted a bland, nice, gentle picture. The point I'm trying to get to you is this. When we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel with people, we must let them know that we really are full of this. It's living to us. It's vital to us. It's not just bland facts listed with a nice sort of template of notes on the text, but you're made to feel that he's really among you and you want him. A man called James Stalker in 1891 gave a lecture at Yale University in America, and he said, so and so, I'll tell you what it is in a minute, is the soul of preaching. Something he said is the soul of preaching. What do you think he put in there? What do you think he thought was the heart and soul of preaching?
Life.
Life? Well, that's getting very close. The word he used was enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I'll take life. Enthusiasm. Paul says, Christ was set before you with enthusiasm, with life. You saw him. You felt him. You wanted him. Mm-hmm. Spurgeon said, if you preach in a boring way, mm-hmm. people will think it doesn't mean anything to you. You've got to let them know that it means everything to you and that they want him. You see, Say an unbeliever is listening to this somewhere. I'm speaking to you as believers. But say an unbeliever is listening to this. What do I want to say to him? She hasn't a clue what they're missing. I can't tell them what there is in Jesus. The only way you can find out is taste and see. You can ask me what a peach tastes like. I can't tell you. Suck it and see. Do you remember the boy in Cranford when he helps Mr. Carter? He's a gypsy boy. Mr. Carter says at the end of the day, he had some ice cream. And the boy said, "What's ice cream? He's never had ice cream." See? So Mr. Carter says, "Will you come here at the end of the day?" So when he finished, he came at the end of the day, and Mr. Carter gave him a bowl of ice cream. And the boy looks at it, and he says, "Go on." So he dips his spoon in, and he puts it in his mouth, and his eyes light up, because he's tasting ice cream. Mr. Carter couldn't tell him what ice cream tasted like. You have to try it for yourself. But brother and sister, when we speak to others about Christ, for ourselves as well, let us get this sense of enthusiasm and exuberance clearly portrayed, trying to convey the life of Christ to others, trying to show them how precious he is to us. You see, when people find things precious, they can't stop talking about it. You listen to them. Let us be like that with Jesus, because he is precious, isn't he?